to the political cesspool known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host for tonight, James Edwards.
Good evening, one and all, and welcome to the Political Cesspool for this evening. Political Cesspool is, of course, the South's foremost populist radio broadcast. And since the South is the foremost region of the United States, that makes us the country's foremost populist radio broadcast. And since the United States is still the foremost country in the world, no thanks to our corrupt, schizophrenic, and morally bankrupt government officials, that makes the Political Cesspool the world's foremost populist radio broadcast. It all kind of follows, right? Well, as you probably gather by now, this is not James Edwards. James Edwards is out doing, I don't know, some kind of James Edwards-y thing. I'm Winston Smith, one of the regular co-hosts of the Political Cesspool, and I'm coming to you via the facilities of the palatial and tastefully appointed studio of WLRM Radio AM 1380 in the sprawling, stylish, and cosmopolitan city of Millington, Tennessee. Folks, if you've never been to Millington, Tennessee, you owe it to yourself to take a trip to Millington and see what that town has to offer. All right. Tonight, it is my great pleasure and privilege to be sharing command of the CSS Political Cesspool with none other than my good friend and brother-in-arms, Mr. Bill Rowland. Bill, it's been a very long time since you and I were on the air together. How are you these days?
It's been quite a while, Winston. It's been too long, as a matter of fact. But we've got a really good show lined up, as always. We've got one guest tonight. He'll be on in the first hour right after our first break. His name is Brian Wilson. I'll leave it to your imagination to whether he was a Beach Boy or not, but I think probably it would be false advertising to say that he is. But he is a radio host out of Toledo, Ohio, and we'll be coming back after the break with Mr. Wilson. So he's our first guest tonight, and then in the second and third hours, of course, it'll just be me and Winston, and we'll be your dance partners for the rest of the evening.
I don't dance, Bill.
Well, we'll be your sing-along partners for the rest of the evening.
Uh-huh. But you're exactly right. We're going to have one guest, and then during the second hour and the third hour, we're going to open up the phone lines, and we invite you all to call in. Bill, as you said, it has been far, far too long since you and I have been on the air together. I don't remember when we were last on the air, but we have to rectify that. We can't let that happen again.
That's true. We've got to keep this up, keep this partnership up. We don't want to perhaps insinuate that there'll be a mutiny, but clearly, you know, we're in the command of the show now, and I don't know, maybe we should keep James tied up in the hold.
It's just a thought.
Well, but again, I guess we're going power mad already. But
yeah, we got to go to our first break now. So, folks, stay with us. You're tuning into the Political Cesspool, and we'll be right back after the break.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages. If you can handle the truth, pick up a copy of Plain Truth by John Tate, a concise critique of contemporary American government for its refusal to acknowledge our true origins as a Western Christian nation. Plain Truth will inform and inspire readers who are eager to partake in the long and difficult process necessary to restore the American Republic. As citizens of this great republic, we can perform no more important task than realizing our duty to preserve our unique culture, heritage, and people despite a formidable foe within our own nation. Read Plain Truth and you'll discover the importance of identifying the cause, exploring the consequences, and discovering solutions to our unfortunate situation. The debate must shift toward a focus upon culture, history, and nationalism. Plain Truth by John Tate proves that racial diversity and Republican government are incompatible with one another. Plain Truth by John Tate is available through Amazon, Target, Borders, and Barnes & Noble bookstores.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold. With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today, 1-800-691-7898, and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
James Edwards, not. This is Bill Rowland with co-host Winston Smith tonight. We are at the wheel of the Political Cesspool, and we have our first guest coming up. Brief introduction about him. His name is Brian Wilson, and according to his own description, he is a nationally ignored talk show host and occasional Lou Rockwell unindicted co-contributor, and is currently annoying minuscule audiences in a number of markets from his technically challenged studios safely outside the dictatorship of Toledo, Ohio. Brian may be endured from 3 to 6 p.m. at www.wspd.com. Brian, do we have you on the air?
Something like it.
Great. Good to have you on. You know, I read some of your articles on Lou Rockwell today. Very pithy, very down to earth, very straightforward, but also very insightful and I think really make excellent points. How did you end up, first of all, in the radio business and then as a contributor to Lou Rockwell, dare I say you're a Renaissance man?
Well, radio started, at least for me, back in 1965. I was in school at LSU, and, you know, the usual story about falling into it. I had no intention of getting into radio. It was something to do while I waited for law school. As far as Lou Rockwell was concerned, I had Lou on the show as a ricochet off of, I think, off of my friendship with Jim Bovard. And one thing led to another. Lou said something about writing something, and I did, and he ran it up, and one thing led to another, and it just was a series of articles as the subject matter or current events or whatever moved me. And I think there's only one thing I ever wrote for Lou that he turned down, and for good reason. But it's, like I said in the bio, it's an occasional, just an occasional thing. I'm working on a piece right now that I'll try to get to him, you know, in the next week or so. But it's, there's no deadline, there's no compensation, there's no nothing. It's a, it's an opportunity to just lend a different type of writing style and a perspective, I think, to a group of people who are incredibly bright and incredibly well-educated and focused on the ills that we're facing as a republic, and to have the privilege of being able to drop a little bon mot in there once in a while with my own particular brand of humor, cynicism, sarcasm, what have you. That's just a fun thing to do.
A lot of us are not paid for our best work, let me tell you. So
I was going to say that as well, Bill. I was going to say that the problem of no compensation for things like this is something that's going around a lot, and it was going around a lot before before the economic meltdown occurred.
Mm. Well, I don't find it doesn't it's not an issue with me. I don't hold some, you know, some simmering resentment or desire that Lou should you know, zip me off a check somewhere. The fact that you can have a theater of ideas and discussions among individuals who have varied backgrounds and educations and perspectives, and there's a more of a learning cauldron going on that advances the ball of liberty and freedom and the preservation of the republic and individual responsibility, along with economic understanding and great treatises on Second Amendment and Fifth Amendment and things along that order. It's more of a wellspring of information for individuals who have, who are just getting, I think, a matter of awareness. I don't think that, I don't think Jim Bovard or Lou Rockwell or Ron Paul or Tom DiLorenzo or any of these people that I've come to know and have a friendship with over the years read my stuff and say, "Ooh, boy, there's something I never thought of before." Well, or there's something I've learned that's brand new. I think it's really, for those gentlemen, it's more of, if anything, a matter of amusement or maybe a different perspective. I learn from them. I doubt seriously that they learn anything from me. It's just a, it's more from the standpoint of individuals who may have heard about LouRockwell.com off my radio show to come in, and I'm more of an entry-level writer. I am not, I'm not in the league of a Lorenzo or a Bovard or a Rockwell.
Here's a title that's a grabber. What if Ronald McDonald met Ayn Rand? Now, that's not something you see very often on Lou Rockwell.
Well, you know, the thing about it is some of those guys are very academic, and their perspective is one of, I think, of what? Of historical reference, economic reference, and so on. I love Ron Paul. I love, you know, Tom DiLorenzo and I, Jim Bovard, we've been on panels and discussion groups and so on together. I've always thought that the way to hook people in to some of the messages and the realities of freedom and liberty and so on is to try and sugarcoat it a little bit, make it a little bit more entertaining. Jim Bovard probably comes as close as anyone to attempting to bring a perspective, a round peg, square hole humor to their writing and their pieces than say Tom DiLorenzo. You know, Tom's a great guy, but he's not a knee slapper. He's a, you know, the, you really have to want to know what Tom is writing about to you know, to get into it. But that's the beauty of that particular website and Lou's the things that Lou puts up there. Walter Williams, another very good friend of mine, we're having dinner in a couple of weeks. You know, Walter's a funny guy. There's a very unique talent to be able to bring something as dry, boring, and such a yawner as economics to a point where you really enjoy reading and learning about it. That's pretty unique. And that's what's so great about being able to drop something in on that website from time to time is, you know, something like Ronald McDonald and Ayn Rand. It's, you know, if it works, it works. I don't come to that platform or that venue, thinking that I've got anything to offer except maybe an interesting perspective.
Since the election, you know, since you're in radio and you do get a considerable amount of feedback from your audience, you know, that's one thing with many writers really don't get the kind of feedback that someone doing live broadcasts gets and enjoys, I might add. But, you know, how many people do you think are out there who really get it, you know, with what's going on in this country? How many people really understand the extent of the, you know, the totalitarian state under construction here? How many people really understand that the system that's in place is in place to create a police state? And how many of them are still waving the flag, you know, over a dead constitution? You know, what's your opinion on that? How many people do you think really get it nowadays?
Well, it would be difficult to put either an actual number or a percentage or whatever. I think that the elections, I don't think the election represents anything. There's so much skullduggery and bull hockey and propaganda and things going on. It's almost like the polls. Well, the polls show, you know, the polls are at the very best just a snapshot of some very, very, very specific and in some cases degraded demographic that the pollster or the person who's paying the bill wants to elicit a particular result. You know, you can get a poll saying the majority of people believe the world is flat. You know, that doesn't really matter. Anyone who believes polls, there was a book out, and I always get the title wrong, although I reference it all the time. I want to say it's Polaganda, but I'm probably wrong on that. It was written by an acquaintance of Jim Bovard's. It was a magnificent little book talking about polls. But how many people get it? How many people don't? I kind of get the sense that the world, or at least our society, our nation, our country, the people here that think at all, if they do, there are three groups. There are the people who see the black helicopters and the barbed wire fences and so on, and the UN tanks passing them in the night on flat cars and freight trains, and they see that with great regularity, but very little tangible evidence. Then there is the other extreme, I say this in my... in my mathematics, first, well, let me back up for a minute. I think basically you really have to throw out, you know, a huge number of people. People who voted in the election, who voted for Obama or McCain and really thought that their vote was doing something, forget about all that. Subtract that number from the rest of the population of the United States, throw out the children, throw out the elderly, the infirm, the illegal immigrants, you know, and then try and boil it down to somewhat of a pure precipitate of what's left. And that's the group I'm talking about. At the lowest end of that group intellectually are the people who emotionally get the sense that there's something. It's kind of like Al Pacino in the movie Injustice for All. Yep.
Brian, I'm sorry. We have to. Can you hold that thought? We have to go to our second break.
Great. Do it. Pay something.
All right. Thanks. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Hi, I'm Roger Mason, the inventor of Beta Prostate. Men, are you getting up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom? Is your love life not what it used to be? Many men don't realize these issues are often related to their prostate health. Prostate problems start about age 40, and by 50, over half of men already have a prostate problem. This only gets worse. What can you do? See a doctor for checkups and take Beta Prostate. It is the well-researched natural formula that supports a healthy prostate, and it's made with pure beta-cytosterol, 11 essential minerals plus vitamin D. This is the best-selling prostate formula in the world. It's safe, it's healthy, and what every man over 40 should take for good prostate nutrition.
To try Beta Prostate risk-free, dial 1-800-362-5848. Call today for Beta Prostate and get Roger Mason's best-selling book free with your order. Dial 1-800-362-5848. That's 1-800-362-5848.
At the time of death, loved ones are forced to make many important and difficult decisions. Planning together allows families to avoid difficult decisions in the future and gives you peace of mind now. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is a new perpetual care cemetery located 1 mile south of Goodman Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi. Autumn Woods is the largest cemetery in DeSoto County and serves the entire DeSoto County, Memphis metropolitan area. Autumn Woods Memorial Park allows for a dignified and peaceful final resting place. Autumn Woods Memorial Park is locally owned and operated. The staff is committed to providing the best possible service at the most affordable price. Autumn Woods Memorial Park now has side-by-side lots starting at $600. Come by and visit our beautiful property, conveniently located at 6240 Davison Road in Olive Branch, Mississippi, or call us at 901-521-9520. You can also find us online at www.autumnwoodsmemorialpark.com. Let's return to the political cesspool and our own bunch of rebels, the political cesspool guys.
So today, I'll be standing right by his side when they say he's a rebel and he'll never be.
Yes, yes, folks, here we are, a bunch of rebels indeed. I'm feeling very rebellious tonight. Bill, are you feeling rebellious?
I'm feeling really rebellious. I'm wearing clean underwear.
That's good to know. Folks, you're listening to the Political Cesspool here on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Winston Smith, along with Bill Rowland, and we have with us tonight Brian Wilson, talk show host from Toledo, Ohio, and we're talking over some of the issues of the day. Brian, would you please continue that thought you were talking about when we went to the break?
Well, just to condense it down to something a little bit more bite-sized, I think we've got a group that's divided into three pieces. There is the group that sees, a conspiracy behind every Bush. You have the folks at the other end of the spectrum that are just now getting the sense that there's something really wrong here, but since they're kind of new to the contest, their objective analysis of what's going on may be a little flaccid. And then you have the group in the middle, the folks that are pretty much up on things. They're looking at it, chewing on it, reading about it, thinking about it, talking about it, listening to it on the radio, that kind of thing. And they're starting to, there's somewhere in there they formulated a thought as to where all this is. Now, how you break that down into percentages, I don't know that I can help you on that. You know, is the lower percentage bigger than the top percentage? Who knows? But I think that one thing that the Obama administration in the last campaign has given us, you know, is a really two-by-four up alongside the head as to just exactly how corrupt and repulsive the whole system is.
Right. And, you mentioned the conspiracies. It seems, though, that the only segment of society who can be conspiracy nuts or something like that is European Americans. When the ADL sees anti-Semitism behind every tree and rock, and whenever every black activist and advocacy organization sees white racism lurking on every corner, somehow we're the ones who are called the conspiracy nuts.
Mm. Yeah, no, I don't doubt that, but I get the sense that we'd have to define our terms as far as conspiracy is concerned, as mm-hmm. opposed to just good old fashioned prejudice or ignorance or whatever the case. But as I see it, the conspiracies of government doing this and government doing that, and it's becoming more obvious, I think, that the government is at least in a position through their force, and now with this current administration, that these things weren't all conspiracies after all. Maybe that's just the way things are going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've noticed that already it appears that Barack Obama is over his head as far as the problems that face this country, because we see him slamming the door in the face of the press when they want access. He has been pretty terse and short in terms of people standing up to him and not giving him, all of the goodies he wanted. And now, he gets under stress and he's fleeing the White House to have his picture taken with kindergartners at some Washington school. So, it appears he's already in over his head. But what really concerns me about Obama is, the sociocultural changes that he'll make through appointments, for instance, to the Supreme Court, and one he's already made as far as the Attorney General goes. I mean, this is where the real danger is who can pull the trigger with regards to enforcement and, the law enforcement agencies.
Yes. Well, I agree with 100%. Holder's a scary guy. He was a scary guy the first time around. And if anybody gives a rat's patoot about the Second Amendment, this is a guy that could really stick it to us.
Well, the problem is, of course, that the people who are in favor of the Second Amendment and the First Amendment, they wave the Constitution in the air and say you can't do this, while the handcuffs are being put on them. Literally, they're going to be dragged out of their houses with their Second Amendment rights in tow. And, there seems to be no real grasp of what people would do or what actions they would take if Holder does carry out these plans to ban firearms or ban ammunition or whatever little sneaky tactic the administration or the government will use to take the Second Amendment away from us. And, of course, shortly thereafter, the First Amendment, once some of these hate crimes are enacted. I mean, if we're talking to people who've got any sense out there, and our audience are smart folks, what are we going to do when this stuff starts to roll out?
Well, I think the answer to that question lies in the two different ways that this or any other administration could actually pull it off. Government tends not to be confrontational. They're not that stupid. Not anymore, anyway. They tried that in the past. Didn't work out real well. Government over the years, as it has evolved, they figured out that incrementalism works a lot better for them.
Hey,
just
Brian,
like the old that. Go ahead.
Brian, I'm sorry. We got to go to our next break. Stay with us, folks.
Okay. Here we come, walk down the street. Get the funniest looks.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the political cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
And people say we monkey around, but we're too busy singing to put anybody down. We're just trying to be friendly. I'll come and watch you sing and play.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth. Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
With recent international flight from the dollar, it's confusing. How to protect your wealth against this invisible loss of purchasing power? Let the Republic Trading Group help you see through the fog and deception of the fiat money masters. The fact is, gold is and always has been the only insurance against the erosion of your wealth. So put the power of gold to work for you and rest assured your purchasing power is secure. Buy your gold from the most dependable and reputable dealer, Republic Trading Group. Call today 1-800-691-7898 and let Robbie Noel help you see through the fog. When you support the Republic Trading Group, you're also supporting Republic Broadcasting Network. So visit our new and improved website today, republictradinggroup.net, for daily news and information from around the world. Don't be confused. Call Republic Trading Group today, 1-800-691-7898, and lock in the power of gold.
Welcome back to the Political Cesspool. To get on the show, call toll-free at 1-800-313-9443. And now here's your host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
No, it's not James Edwards. Thank goodness. You've got the real cesspool host tonight. You have myself, Winston Smith, along with the real deal himself, Mr. Bill Rowland, and we are carrying the load here tonight. And we are pleased to be doing so with Mr. Brian Wilson, talk radio host from Toledo, Ohio, and frequent contributor to LouRockwell.com. We're talking about upcoming demise of America under the Obama administration and having a darn good time doing so, if I might say so myself. Brian, please continue with what you were saying when we went to the break.
Well, let's break it down. There's two ways that the government can take the action that many of us fear they may or will. As I was saying prior to the break, government has historically, at least in the last 10 decades or so, learned the lesson of the way to boil a frog. I won't bore you. I'm sure everybody's heard the analogy. I heard it first from Walter Williams when I was doing mornings in Washington, D.C. about 15 years ago, and our relationship started. And when you think about the boiling of the frog in the context of the Second Amendment and Eric Holder, where we started all this, it'd be a lot easier and appropriate. And in fact, it's been working pretty well up until this point to incrementally snuff out the Second Amendment. Certainly, the recent Supreme Court decision didn't do squat as much as everyone wished it would with respect to establishing the Second Amendment as an individual right. Looks good on paper until you scratch below the surface and see Scalia's trap door there at the end, which is rather tragic. But nevertheless, you know, you look at the history of gun control in America since Miller and the sawed-off shotgun, and you see an excellent example of the incremental encroachment of the Second Amendment by the federal government. Well, all they have to do is continue doing the same thing. I assume most of you are familiar with H.R. 45 that was recently submitted, and its evil twins, the same type of thing. I mean, that's the perfect way of doing it. Who was it? The senator from New York, I can't remember his name off the top, he's since passed, had the brilliant idea probably 25 years ago. He said, the hell, don't worry about guns. Tax the ammunition.
Well, was that Schumer?
No. It was the Irish guy who passed away, Patrick.
Moynihan,
thank you. That was Moynihan's idea. Tax the ammo. Well, the same thing is true now with this idea of having fingerprints on and serial numbers and so on ammunition. It's going to be a little difficult to go out and practice in the backyard with your 9mm when it costs $100 a box, you know, for 20 rounds. It's probably why you see so much of the, I was at a gun show today. I mean, it's unbelievable. It's wall to wall. You can hardly get through the aisles. People are buying everything they can. They're walking out with truckloads of ammo. But the incremental way is the best way, because it'll all be hidden behind some shooting at a university or a mass murder of a bunch of children at an elementary school like happened in England and so on. And the next thing you know, everybody will think it'll be perfectly logical to get rid of your guns. The other way, the way you started this conversation, if Eric Holder was to initiate some sort of a movement or an order when individuals had to come out and start taking my guns, and your guns, and they were actually going door to door and dragging people out, I tell you what, I'd love that to happen. I'd live for that, because that would incite Americans across the spectrum, with the possible exception of the 20-30% on the liberal left, to say, ho, 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 ho now. Hey, wait just a damn minute now. It's, it's one thing to, have sensible gun laws. It's another thing to be going into people's houses and dragging them out by the short hairs and tossing all their guns in the back of a van and taking them off into Never Never Land.
What are sensible gun laws? Let me ask you, because this is a question that comes up, as far as the Second Amendment goes. What are sensible gun laws?
There are no sensible gun laws. Second Amendment speaks for itself.
Right.
Every man, woman, and qualified child should be able to go in and purchase a firearm, rifle, shotgun, pistol, machine gun, whatever they want, and own it in a responsible manner. The sensible gun laws, I mean, that's just a euphemism for how can I begin encroachment on the Second Amendment.
Mm. Brian, you mentioned the effectiveness of incrementalism. Do you think that now, with the Democrats in lock, stock, and barrel ownership of the U.S. government, that they might just chuck incrementalism and start making wholesale moves against the American people, masking it behind some sort of spin?
Well, it would surprise me if it did happen. I just don't think it's going to happen any time in the next couple of months. I think the greatest protection that we have, the two greatest protections that we have of that happening, are number one, a Republican Party, when they are in the minority, always seems to find the necessary body parts, to stand up and do what they should do all the time, And the other thing we've got going for us is the president. He has managed to illustrate in less than a month on the job, but he's a flaming incompetent. There was a great article written by Rich Galen, who puts out a cyber column, and he's a pal of mine out of Washington, D.C. It was entitled Running Versus Serving, and the differences between running for office and making all your flowery promises and having your worshipful get-togethers, and then all of a sudden, it's like, you know what, you can boil it down even shorter. The dog chasing his tail and catching it. Oh, God, what do I do now? And the same thing is true with Obama. I'm sure that the, oh, God, what do I do now, hit him about the second day that he woke up in the White House, and he found out that people weren't lining up to kiss his ring or other areas of his anatomy. You know, that things, it wasn't a worshipful religious service at the park any longer. All of a sudden, there were people there, appointees and non-appointees and career bureaucrats, that were going to say, you know what? I don't go along with that. I don't think that's all that bright. And I think we saw that in the last, 72 hours, where Obama stood up and said, this was irresponsible. And, you know, how could you possibly do this? We need to pass, you know, that kind of dictatorship mentality and vocal pitch that, a lot of us have been just waiting to manifest itself, you know, there in Washington, D.C. But at the moment, for the time being, early on, before the glow wears off and the media maybe gets a pair of themselves, gee whiz, maybe this dude is as naked as we all thought he was when he was running.
I think his little tirade there, to me, it looked more like a hissy fit rather than a dictator.
But agreed.
I'd like to propose a possible third obstacle to the sort of government intrusion that we've been talking about, and that is simply the power of the community collective. If word ever got out that they're coming out to seize our guns, I see it as a perfect opportunity for the American people to exercise their patriotic duty and make it as unpleasant a task for the people collecting the guns as we possibly can, if you know what I mean. Alexander Solzhenitsyn told us about that in his book, The Gulag Archipelago. When he said they would sit around the fires and they would be angry at themselves, because they wondered what would have happened if instead of during the raids where the secret police came and hauled entire cities off, it seemed like, if they would set up ambushes, and they wondered what it would be like if all those agents wondered if that might be the last time they saw their family. It is something that we need to consider. I'm not advocating violence as a first response, but you know, it seems like we're running out of options.
Well, we're certainly running out of reason, and I think that when you have the additional pressure of individuals, a great many of us who have, in fact, I just got my statement in from my broker today, and I'm ready to wring his neck. you have a financial meltdown like we're having, and then you've got the bailout of the good old boys, which we've also had, and then you've got a line of people vis-a-vis industries lining up behind the banks and so on to get their money, and then you look at the incredible financial albatross that is thrown around the neck of your kids and my kids and your grandchildren and my grandchildren and so on. I mean, the country is rapidly going bankrupt. The Fed is rapidly going bankrupt. People are going to be scared and desperate and so on. The last thing that a lot of those people are going to stand for is have somebody come by and say, give me your shotgun, give me your squirrel gun, give me your deer rifle, give me your handgun. It is increasing. You know, Sam Adams said something to the effect that, you know, that you didn't have to have a majority to prevail. You just had to set brush, had to have a dedicated band of individuals that would set brush fires in the minds of people. And obviously, it's a terrible paraphrase. But the fact is, I've often thought, well, yeah, I really got you on that one, Sam. But what happens if when you go out to set those brush fires, you find out that your matches are wet or the tinder is soggy and you can't really get anything going because the people are too ignorant, too stupid, too apathetic, you know, too beaten down to get off their butts and get anything going. Therein lies the big problem. Now, you start turning up the heat from Washington with a hissy fit pitching president, and a bunch of idiots like Nancy Pelosi, who somehow came up with another 200 million people living in this country. I don't know where that happened. You know, I'm pretty crappy at math, but even I can read the census reports. And all of a sudden, you know, you start ratcheting up that blood pressure, ratcheting up that resentment, ratcheting up the resentment towards violations of essential rights and so on. And you've got a situation. Tom Sowell, great writer out of the Hoover Institution, had a great line. I use it all the time. I strongly suggest that, that you and the audience use it liberally. He said, it's not necessarily what's best. It's who gets to decide what's best. And that focuses everything down like a laser beam to the things that we should be concerned about. It's who gets to decide what's best. Do I get to decide? Does the mayor get to decide? Does the county get to decide? The governor, the president, the Congress, Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, who the hell gets to decide what's best for me? Does the government tell me that I can't have foie gras anymore, or that I'm going to be fined, I have to pay a tax on soft drinks or my ammunition or something? Where the hell did that come from? And how do you guys get away with it? And where do you think this is not a free society? You're not talking about things that exist in a free society. You're talking about things that exist in a dictatorship.
Well, apparently,
and I would hope that
I'm sorry, Brian.
Yeah, go
apparently
ahead.
I think in New Jersey is trying to tell parents what they can and cannot name their children.
Like I said, you know, that once you open Pandora's box to that kind of nonsense, then only your imagination cannot conceive of where you can go with that. The same as not being able to say Christmas or Santa Claus because some particular group may be offended by that. Well, you know what? There's no freedoms, there's no guarantees, there's no rights in anything from the Magna Carta to the Declaration to the Constitution that says you don't have a right to not be offended. You know, get over it, live with it, move on.
I can tell you exactly what the propaganda scheme against the Second Amendment will be. And the precedent essentially has already been set with Ruby Ridge, which is, I think Matt Waco and Ruby Ridge have already gone down the memory hole for most people. I don't think that has an impact anymore. But the feds will make a few raids on so-called white supremacists or neo-Nazis, and they'll seize a bunch of guns, which may not even work. You know, I know that in Germany, some weapons were seized from some so-called neo-Nazis, and I saw the film of it, and they were clearly dummy rounds and dummy ammunition and stuff that was inoperable. But the point is that they'll say that these are the only people who are hoarding guns. And once it becomes a racist smear to own a gun, then people start giving them up, or they won't want to be seen with them. It's just like a lot of other things in this culture, that once it gets that label, once it gets the imprimatur of being something that's racist, it's going to disappear from sight. And then people will say, well, I guess, you know, because there's so much trouble in these inner city areas, maybe we shouldn't have all these guns. And people will give them up. I think that this is a cunning group in this administration. I don't think that the president's very cunning or very smart, but it's a cunning group. And they'll think of some public relations campaign that will cause us to think twice about going to gun shows. Or they'll put a plant at a gun show who will be selling, you know, all these Nazi flags and you know, so-called offensive material. And that's what will be associated with owning handguns.
Well, I don't think that's an impossibility. Certainly the law enforcement types at any level, but especially the federal level, will always capitalize on any opportunity of a disaster or a misfortune, whether it's at in Virginia at a university or Ruby. I mean, Ruby Ridge. The thing about Ruby Ridge and Waco, Waco more so than Ruby Ridge, which was on national television, Gina Reno's barbecue of all those kids and adults and so on. That incident did not spark some form of a national revolt against the government is beyond my ability to comprehend, and probably the most depressing and scary aspect. And if you can watch that on national television, and then listen to the spin and the bull hockey that, that followed it, and not have a national uprising, then a few people being dragged out by the short and curlies and have their guns tossed in the back of a van isn't going to get anybody's blood pressure up, except mine and yours.
And mine, yes. Well, I mean, the very thought of any of my rights being taken away by an intrusive federal government bent on, a totalitarian control over our lives gets my blood boiling, and it's more than guns.
When Waco went down.
We have to go to our next break, gentlemen.
Okay.
Folks, stay with us. You're listening to the Political Cesspool with Winston Smith and Bill Rowland and Brian Wilson. Stay with us, folks. We'll be right back.
Someday the mountain might get up, but the law never will.
Don't go away. There's plenty more of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
That's just a little bit more than the law will allow.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Are you ready for the coming winter? Are you really ready for the diseases that have been cooked up for this year? Flu viruses, staph, even MRSA, or strep. Remember, flu vaccines are made from past year's viruses, not what's current and coming at you. Go to buyyoungliving.com, where you will find the top standardized therapeutic quality essential oils on the planet. Order and try out the body and environment safe Thieves product line. The antimicrobial essential oil blend, household cleaner, foaming hand soap, spray, throat lozenges, and many more. Use pure therapeutic grade essential oils because they are safe and many are extremely effective at killing any bacteria, virus, or fungus, and they never become resistant to these oils. At buyyoungliving.com, you'll find out what it's really like to get your health back.
Do you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt? Would you like to be out of debt in just 90 days using a system that has proven and guaranteed results for 15 years? I'm John Glia, the author of Winning the Collection Game and founder of Zero Debt in 90 Days. My system has helped tens of thousands of people that realized they had way too much credit card debt or just could not or did not want to continue paying credit card companies.
My wife was really skeptical, but she liked your written guarantees. I'm glad we went with the program. Thanks to your system, we've got a fresh start and are debt-free, and it only took a few months.
I have trained over 80 attorneys in at least 15 states on how to use my system and get their clients out of debt in 90 days. But you don't need an attorney to get the benefits of my proven system. In fact, you can keep your cash. No need to negotiate with creditors. No need to pay legal fees or make a federal case out of your situation. Call my team today at 321-747-0264 or visit johnglia.com and ask for free information on how you can be debt-free in 90 days without making one payment to any creditor. That's 321-747-0264. And johnglia.com.
What time is it? Louis, Louis time. And now let's return to the political cesspool.
No, we don't got to go. We got to stay. You're listening to the Political Cesspool.
on Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Winston Smith, co-hosting tonight with my good friend and brother-in-arms, Bill Rowland. We have with us this evening Mr. Brian Wilson, the esteemed talk show host from Toledo, Ohio, or working out of Toledo, Ohio, and also a frequent contributor to LouRockwell.com. We had scheduled Brian to be on the program for a mere hour, but frankly, folks, I'm enjoying it so much that during the break I asked Brian if he would stay on with us after this segment for another half hour, and he has graciously agreed to do so. And even more graciously, he has agreed to take some phone calls. So after this segment, coming back after the top of the hour, if you would care to call in and ask Brian Wilson a question or make a comment to him, feel free to do so. You can call in at 1-800-313-9443. Once again, that's 1-800-313-9443 if you'd like to talk with Brian Wilson or with myself, Winston Smith, or Bill Rowland about any of the topics that we've covered tonight. Brian, I do want to thank you for staying with us for this hour and for graciously agreeing to spend another half hour with us and for taking on the irascible cesspool audience.
Couldn't think of a better way to spend a Saturday night.
I think that betrays the fact that we all need lives.
Well, it's been a long day. But I'd say, it was a great time down at the gun show nearby here today. And you always hear great stories and get a chance to learn a little bit more about your fellow man and what motivates him and what his plans are. And it's good. It's good. Not only that, I got a chance to pick up a Paraordnance P1245 that I've been looking for a long time. So it's good.
Well, what was selling? What were the guns of choice? Did you notice, or who was selling the big package? Who was the big box seller there?
One of the good things I can say about Ohio is that it's one of the few states left where, at least east of the Mississippi, where you can, if you want to sell a gun and I want to buy a gun, we just do the deal. Here's the money, give me the gun, and we're out the door.
Remarkable.
There's no 4473s or, you know, I guess this is the exercise of what the liberals in Washington like to call the gun show loophole. I call it a fair free exchange with two individuals, someone who has a product to sell and someone who wants to buy it. So they, in answer to your question specifically, handguns are the big item. A lot of people, bring it in their hunting rifles to trade them in for handguns.
Okay, we've got to wrap up this hour of the political cesspool. Brian, thanks again for staying with us and agreeing with us to stay on for another half hour. Stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with more of the political cesspool on Republic Broadcasting Network.
Way, our number two of tonight's installment of the political cesspool comes your way right after these messages.
With recent internet